No, and it's the first Tuesday of the month at this time, and that means Focus on Education. 30 minutes with Greenwich Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones. Good morning, Dr. Jones. Welcome. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right. We've got lots to talk about, but I guess the first thing we want to do is mention that today is National Teachers Day.
Yes, actually, it's Teacher Appreciation Week, and we're just so grateful for all that our educators do for our students. And we couldn't be more grateful, especially for the work they've done the past few years.
All right. And on that note, recently distinguished teachers, the six, were announced, and they'll be feted, as the saying goes, right? They'll be celebrated this Thursday, right?
Yes, there will be. And it's a huge honor in Greenwich to be named as a distinguished teacher. As a matter of fact, when you come in Havemeyer, the main administrative building, all of the pictures throughout the years are up on the wall, and that's what lines the entire hallway, are the six pictures from every single year. And it's a big honor to be a distinguished teacher in Greenwich.
All right. Now your work begins on trying to pick that one teacher who's a teacher of the year in Greenwich, right?
Oh, my goodness. That is so hard. Yes. It's really challenging. I actually... first of all, out of the six, they'll let me know who's really interested because, you know, the goal is if they are the one teacher chosen, then they actually go to the state level. And so out of the six, they'll let me know who's interested in doing that. And then we conduct interviews, go out and visit their classroom, and then have to select the final person.
All right, fantastic. And when will that be?
Usually it's between now and the end of the year, so sometime in the next 30-plus days.
All right, fantastic. All right, let's talk now about Central Middle School, work progressing there on trying to get the building committee put together and the new school and so forth. Give us an update there.
Well, we put in a request to the first selectman to formulate the building committee for Central Middle School, and it's on a very aggressive timeline because building committees must first they apply to be on the building committee. The first selectmen actually go through and interview those candidates. And then after they're interviewed, they make their selection. And then it goes to the RTM. And because the RTM doesn't meet in the summer, the first selectmen agreed to be on an aggressive timeline to get candidates forward so that they can make the agenda in June. And the building committee will be ready to go this summer. So we're really excited about it. They're looking for candidates who have experience in architecture, project management, construction, legal contracts, really the specialty positions, because this will be a huge project, and they really want some people who understand the process of construction.
Do you agree with the kind of conceptual makeup of the committee in terms of who will be, which groups will be represented, and also the, I guess there'll be, three liaison members?
It is actually set, and I can't remember if it's in charter or not, but there is actually, the process is very set about who's the voting member on the committee. Fred Camillo has added some additional positions that are non-voting. I believe there's somebody from the Sustainability Committee. There are like three other positions at least represented that will have a voice at the table, although they're non-voting.
Okay, so hoping to get all that put into place for approval in June by the RTM, right?
Absolutely, yes.
All right, great. And what are your thoughts as far as moving forward with there? What's kind of the timeline after that as far as getting a new school built?
Well, the first thing the building committee will need to do is go out to select an architect to start the architectural engineering and design work. So we'll help them put out an RFP. They will interview for architects. Once the architect is selected, then they will start to design according to the ed spec that the Board of Education will give them. And the educational specification is really how many classrooms you need, how big does the gym need to be, how big does the auditorium need to be. It really specifies exactly what the building committee will need to build to.
Okay, so let's go from now the Central Middle School, we'll move a little bit to the west, to Western Middle School, the soil remediation project. I know an update was provided last week to the board. Tell us what's the latest there, when it's going to get this work done on those fields and get it reopened.
Yeah, it was quite a long update, actually, but it was, if you watch the update and go back and watch the video, it took everybody right through from the very beginning when the fields were closed. And the fields were initially closed when they went to look at the field to be used for New Lebanon off-site classrooms while they were going to rebuild at New Lebanon. That's when they determined that the soil had some challenges. And, you know, since that time, there has been ongoing work. It's a long process when we have these soil projects. In fact, the attorney who works on this project for Western is the same land attorney who works for Greenwich High School. And, you know, she had noted that Greenwich High School is in the 11th year of working on soil remediation, and we're still just halfway through that project. We're doing work each summer. We feel like Western is in a much better place in the sense that we've been able to learn from the high school, and I think DEEP and EPA have allowed at the high school for a remediation plan that doesn't mean full removal of soil. And our projects in Greenwich are really pioneering in the state of Connecticut in that generally they have not allowed this at a school anywhere. They have called for full removal. So we know that it's been allowed at the high school now. We're moving in the same direction for Western, and we are very, very close. We've done a tremendous amount of testing. We were all the way out at the property line just in the past few months, and we were sending a report, or it's probably already sent as of today, up to DEEP and EPA, and we're really hoping that this will be the last kind of tranche of testing before we put our actual, you know, plan in for approval so that we can start planning for the public hearing, which will be the next step.
Right. So you're going to get input from the public?
Yes, that's required, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We have a large public hearing where people could come forward and, you know, in support or not of the project.
All right, fantastic. We're speaking with Greenwich Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones. This is Folk Day Morning, first Tuesday of the month at 8:30 to 9. A focus on education with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones. And Dr. Jones, what would our focus on education be without an update on COVID? What's the latest?
Oh, my goodness. You know, luckily, I don't have to talk about COVID a great deal anymore. We are expecting, you know, an uptick coming out of spring recess, but it's nothing that we did not anticipate because obviously there was a lot of travel, you know, people across the country, across the world for that matter. And we were watching it closely. We do have a lot of self-test kits available. So if any of our families, you know, wake up and their little one or their teenager has the sniffles and you can't figure out if it's COVID or is it allergies, they can request a test kit from the school, and we provide those at no cost. And we just ask until they test that, you know, stay home if they are symptomatic, and same way for our staff if they haven't tested and be able to get a negative test. And that's really just to keep everybody healthy. You know, I think COVID has become somewhat like the flu for us in that we are going to have ongoing cases. The vast majority of people are getting almost like a really bad cold. But we do have individuals who get pretty sick and can be sick for, you know, a couple of weeks. So we still need to be careful and take care of those who are most vulnerable.
You know, it's interesting. They're saying, you know, with the COVID numbers, because of the self, the at-home test kits and things like that, that maybe the numbers are underreported because of that. But I guess with the district, you know the numbers, right? Somebody tests positive, they're not in school because of that. Is that how it works? And that goes on the tracker or what?
Generally, they let the nurse know. You know, I do think home test kits obviously, you know, impact the numbers compared to what it was like a year and a half ago where, you know, all of the kits were being done by the medical professionals or the testing. So I think it does, you know, impact numbers, but generally the students, because they don't want the absenteeism, you know, to count against them, you know, for instance, in high school for credits. They need to let the district know that they're actually sick. So generally they don't have a challenge to say that it's COVID, and they let the nurses know.
All right, wait, so clarify that. So if you're out with COVID, that doesn't count as a sick day?
No, it does, but it lets the district know. there's a big difference in, for instance, a student who just has school avoidance and doesn't come to school. And then when a student is actually sick with COVID, the same way for teachers, our teachers actually have a clause in their contract that if they let us know that it's COVID impact, they actually have, it's a COVID day instead of a regular sick day. And that's actually in our teacher contract, believe it or not.
Okay. Have you seen more of a return to normalcy with the mask mandate being dropped now?
You know, I think if you ask principals, there's just a general sense of more happiness. And I don't know if that's because we can see everybody's face, but I think just it feels good, like we're moving in the right direction. And for the most part, it's as normal can be in that, you know, we're having assemblies, our sports are back to normal. It's really just on an individual basis, everybody finding their comfort zone. You still have some people, for a variety of reasons, who are still very nervous about COVID. And it could be, you know, individuals who have family members who are vulnerable in their household. You know, they couldn't get vaccinated for a variety of reasons, and they wanted to be. So it's very mixed emotions. But for the most part, you know, we're back. You know, we're carrying on with our, you know, large-scale events. We have our volunteers in our buildings. You probably saw the North Vianas Carnival this last weekend. So all of those big events that have been around for a long time that are just part of who we are back.
Mm-hmm. Have you gotten any update from a legislative standpoint about the possibility of enacting remote learning maybe in the fall?
We should have an update really on the specifications before we go to summer, but I don't know if they've ended up anywhere as of today. The last update that I had was that they were working towards that to allow, for instance, like on a snow day, but I don't think there have been any final decisions made on that.
Now, that's something, I guess, well, I mean, the legislative session ends tomorrow, so that's something that would be in the legislative session, is that right?
That's my understanding, yes.
Right. Okay. All right, let's talk. We know we talked earlier about the Distinguished Teacher Ceremony. Last week it was a big week of ceremonies, and one was the Community Service Awards ceremony with the Fleischman Award, right? How was that?
It was absolutely wonderful. You know, the students that were honored are just incredible. They give, you know, their time to community service, and they, you know, they do it on their own. It's not something that's required. They're not doing it for points or, you know, for any particular reason other than they just really care. And it's so impressive to hear what the principals have written about these students. And it was a wonderful night. The students were well represented, and Dr. Fleischman was there, which was also just a great honor. Dr. Ernie Fleischman was superintendent here for many, many years. And, you know, I had the delight to meet him in my first semester here. And then when COVID hit, obviously, he was back at home. So it was the first time I had seen him since that first semester pre-COVID. All around, it was just a wonderful, wonderful evening.
All right, good. Does he give you any advice?
You know, he was just very supportive. He has a son who is also a school superintendent. And so I think he's had many conversations about what the role has been like over the past 2 years. And so he just had nothing but support, I think, an understanding about some of the decision-making that was taking place during COVID that really no other school superintendent in our lifetime has dealt with. So it was just great to have his support and very uplifting words.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't envy any superintendent in these days, right? As far as that's concerned, right? all right, we're going to take a break with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, on Focus on Education here. Tony Jones. And Dr. Jones, there's now an easier process to recruit substitute teachers. I guess this is probably a good thing these days with the pandemic and all.
Absolutely. This really came from our PTA. It was a request that they had to see if we could try to make the application a little bit simpler. They gave us some great feedback from, you know, a community member's point of view that when you would go to fill out the application, it was taking 2 hours. It asked a lot of questions that were difficult for people who really wanted to sub for us, but perhaps they had been a stay-at-home parent for the last 5 or 10 years So even the way that we were asking for references, if they hadn't been in the job market recently, it was difficult for them to even fill out the application. So the state made some changes to requirements at the state level, and at that time, it was just perfect timing for us to go in and update the application. So the first step is very, very simple. The application is totally separate from the old platform so that we can get somebody processed and get them started in that direction pretty much immediately. And just like all of the school districts really across the country, everybody is needing substitutes. And we put in a substitute incentive pay right before the December break, which has really helped in Greenwich, where our pay was $110 a day. Now, if you sub for us, the incentives all the way through June, it's an extra $30, so it's $140 a day. And if the individual subs every day during 1 week, it goes to $160, so it's an additional $50 a day. That's made an enormous difference for us in Greenwich, and that's something that, you know, we want to make sure that we have substitutes in front of the classroom. And when the state made the change, one of the other changes they made was that you must have some kind of experience with children, but you don't necessarily have to have a bachelor's degree. You can have a bachelor's degree and have really no experience with children. So your degree could be, for instance, in psychology or math, but you've never really been around children or the classroom, and you're still eligible to become a sub. But then also those individuals who have a lot of experience with children that may not have a bachelor's degree are now eligible, and that's a big change that was put forward from the state level.
Can you provide assurances, though, that the vetting process is good for these substitute teachers?
Oh, absolutely. They actually interview with our human resources office. And not only do they interview, they still have to go and get their fingerprints done. We have to check their references. They can be personal or professional references. So the vetting aspect of it absolutely does not change to make sure that we have the best individuals in our classrooms.
All right, you mentioned human resources. Let's transition, a segue, as we say in the radio business. You have a new chief human resources officer taking over as of July 1st. Tell us about Dr. Jonathan Budd.
We are absolutely delighted with Dr. Budd that he's joining our team. He was with us all day yesterday and was able to meet the human resources staff and for that matter, everybody at Havemeyer. He will be meeting with principals over the coming weeks and getting to know them. He's also, I know he already has a meeting with Mary Pepe at the Townside Human Resources. And so he's going to hit the ground running. Right now he's on a transitional contract. And that just means that he works not every single day of the week because he will be transitioning out of his current district and coming to us full time on July 1. But we'll see him periodically every week. Joining virtually on some of the HR meetings. Dr. Budd is just terrific. And not only is he incredibly knowledgeable, but just he's one of those people that he exudes positive energy. And I think he's just going to be a wonderful addition to our entire team.
And it brings to mind that this is the time of year, I guess, when the transitions begin, right, for the end of the school year toward the beginning of the next school year in terms of personnel and front office staff, front office staff, that kind of thing, right?
We really start early. We start, posting for positions in April. We have, April, May, and June. We try to fill as many positions that are known. You know, we have a large staff between certified and uncertified, and so it's a given that every year you're going to have retirements. You have people who have a spouse that gets transferred. We need to fill those positions. And we're in the process of doing all of that right now.
All right. So you have quite a few positions then that you're anticipating you'll have to fill?
We generally have at least 50 teacher positions. As of today, our retirements don't look any higher than they would normally, which is something we were really wondering about coming out of COVID compared to what we're hearing nationally. But we seem to be kind of right where we thought we would be. That can change. A lot of people decide they get all the way to June, and then they just decide, you know what, it's time for me to retire. So I'm sure we'll have a few more. But we are working on getting those filled. The biggest openings, we have some of the biggest that we have right now are three principal positions where our three principals retired. I think we talked about that last month.
Right.
But we're working through the committee process on all three of those, and that's a very time-consuming process for those who sit on the committee, as well as senior staff who do, again, vetting, checking references, trying to make sure that we have the best individual, you know, for each one of those schools that have that opening.
All right, Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, always good to talk to you, Dr. Jones. Thanks very much for your time this morning, and we'll talk again in June, getting toward the end of the school year.
Great. Look forward to speaking with you in June.
All right, take care.
Have a great rest of the week. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones. Folks,